Coming to you live from Fort Wayne, Indiana, hailing from the cornfields, Bree Olson, and none other than the civil engineer, Jimmy Knapp.
Hey, Bree. What's going on?
Hi.
I am a civil engineer. This whole episode is going to be about civil engineering, and we're going to do some calculations, and we're going to build a bridge.
So be sure to tune in. Keep on listening.
If you're looking for a snooze fest,
need some help sleeping. This is the sleep help episode.
This is the ASMR. We're going to talk. I'm going to talk like this about civil engineering.
Oh my God! They're going to put you on an episode on the Calm app that I have downloaded on my phone.
What's the Calm app?
It's where they do stories and it like calms you down and helps you fall asleep each night.
Oh, I should do that. Definitely.
Yeah, it's really good. You should sign up for that about civil engineering.
Civil engineering. Let's get to it.
Yeah, it'd work.
Who knew civil engineering would be a big topic, you know?
I know.
Bobby made it a topic. Bobby did it. It's all Bob. So we're talking about purging this week, right?
Purge. It's the purge.
We've both purged recently, pretty much.
Oh, you purged as well.
Yeah, of course. I had a purge, not this past October, the October before, because I moved into a small apartment from my house.
And what was that like? So your experience is going to be way different than mine because it's like you were sharing a domain. So it's like what all did you take? What did you go through? Like, how did that all work?
Well, for me, I basically had one room in the house that was mine. I don't know how else to explain it. It was basically an office. When we built our house, I built the space for myself because I snore, so me and my ex-wife didn't sleep in the same bed a lot.
Ooh.
Because I that was a big issue. But
from the beginning?
No, in the beginning it was fine, and then like it was basically 15 years after we had kids and stuff like that, it started getting to the point where it was like, all right, I'm just going to go sleep in the other room then, you know?
Have you had a sleep study?
Yeah. And I did not have sleep apnea. That's actually a funny story. I went for a sleep study because I wanted to make sure I didn't have sleep apnea. I go to the hospital where they conduct the sleep studies. They wired me up. I slept halfway through the night and they woke me up because like they put all these, a million wires on you, like a million, like there's so many wires on you. So they wire you up. I wake up in the middle of the night to this little, like, I think she was Filipino lady shaking me. She's like, excuse me. I was melting servos or whatever they're called because I rolled over on my chest and there was too much heat on them. So the next morning I wake up and the lady's like, you could stick around for like an hour and get the results of the sleep study, or we'll call you when it's ready and we'll give it to you. I was like, you know what? I'll wait around for it.
Oh, wow. You're one of those weirdos. I'm like, I'm out.
No, I was like, you know what? I'll stick around. So I get there and this little Filipino lady sits there, right? And she's got an accent, you know? So I was like, so how bad is my sleep apnea? And she's like, oh, no sleep apnea. You are a very good snorer. Very good snorer. And that was it. That's all they could tell me was I was a good snorer. I had no sleep apnea. I was like, this is what I did all night. It's like, oh my God. So I don't have sleep apnea. I just like, you know, what they said is my airway is smaller than normal. So that's what produces the snoring.
Interesting. I always imagine a sleep study, which I'm going to be getting one too, but now they let you do them at home.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I have to wait for all of this COVID stuff to calm down before I can go in and safely, you know, go to a hospital and get the stuff. Right. But they give you the instructions. You do it from home. But I imagine before this was available that you would be in a room sleeping, and then there was like this glass where it was like one way, and there was like a group of scientists in lab coats like watching you and taking notes.
You just observe, look at her sleep.
Yes, that's that's what I imagine in my mind. And you're in like this crisp white room with these bright lights, like while you're asleep,
not being able to sleep.
Yes.
Like they turn the lights pitch black and they're just like conducting these experiments on you. It's so poking and prodding you while you're sleeping.
I think my version in my mind is more interesting than what that it is probably more interesting is.
Yeah, because you just go there and they put like all these like stickers on you. You ever get like an EKG when you go to the doctor?
Yes.
Okay, so they put a million of those little patches on you and they attach these wires to you. And I swear to God, it's got to be like 50 wires all over you. And they're like, okay, go to sleep. I'm like, are you kidding me? Go to sleep. And I could sleep, but you know, I'm always joking around with people. So I was like, you want me to sleep? I said, I'm going to strangle myself in my sleep, you know? But it was informative in a sense that I'm happy I don't have sleep apnea. Like my dad definitely has sleep apnea and he won't go for a sleep study because he stops breathing. When he snores, it's like, like you could tell he's stopping breathing, you know?
Oh, that's too bad. He needs to go in. You got to talk him into it.
He's usually very good. Like he goes to the doctor at the drop of a hat. So I don't know why he won't go do that, you know?
Huh. He don't want the breathing machine.
Yeah, I guess not. I'd like to have the breathing machine.
Me too.
Even though I don't have sleep apnea, you know?
Give me some oxygen.
So just because we got into the sleep apnea discussion. So I had basically a separate bedroom for myself where all of my junk or shit, whatever you want to call it, was in there. Because I collect nonsense sometimes. Like I'm a big horror movie buff. I love music and stuff like that. So I had a whole bunch of garbage that I had to sift through, you know?
Okay.
It was weird because I decided I was moving out October 1st. My ex wasn't happy about it. So I just kind of started. I had the apartment. So little by little, I would put stuff in my car and shift stuff over.
Wait, why wasn't she happy about it?
She had the plan, and she had her own plan in her head on how I would move out, and it was way too long of a process, you know, especially for somebody who's moving out and you have kids and stuff like that. I just kind of like a Band-Aid. I just wanted to get it done because I knew I was going to be upset, so I just wanted to get it done and not drag out the whole process, you know?
Right. And I imagine there was a lot of just animosity and thickness in the air that she could cut with a knife in that situation.
Yeah. Yeah. And the other thing is too, I didn't want the kids to see me packing everything up and moving it out. So that's why another reason why I did it kind of gradually.
That's smart.
You know? Yeah. So I had a lot of stuff and I didn't purge it until I got to my apartment. When I started putting stuff in the apartment, I started putting stuff in a certain corner that I was going to get rid of, you know?
Okay.
And it was tough too, because there were certain things I left at the house and she was like, I don't want this here. Get it out of here. You know, it's like, you know, I don't have the space for a lot of stuff. Like I have, you know, like golf clubs and stuff like that. So I had to like find space for that in my apartment, which I did, but it wasn't something that you could do just right away. I had to set the apartment up and figure that kind of stuff out, you know?
Yeah, like a puzzle almost with working with a small space.
Which it's funny because my girlfriend, I basically put her on my tablet on a tripod in the corner of the apartment and put sliders under all my furniture and just like shifted the furniture. Like she's very good at that stuff. So she's like, put this there. And we ended up like, it took like a few hours, but we ended up getting it perfect. And it was really helpful actually. I set up like a little corner for my daughter. Like I put like, I don't know what you call it, but it's like something you would put over like a tent. You would put over a bed, like a princess bed almost, except I just put it in the corner and I put a big pillow on the floor that my girlfriend bought for Emma. And she has like her own little space. It's a tiny little space, but she can fit in there and she can read and go on her tablet and stuff. And it's like her own little space, you know?
That's so
it's
really nice. Cute.
Yeah. It was her idea. And I was like, you know, that's a good idea for her, you know? So, but what I did was, I had a mega music collection and this was the hardest thing I could ever do. It really was hard. I had, you know, like those binders that you put CDs in. Like
I still have one.
Okay. I had nine or 10. Oh, no, I had 11 of them. One was my ex-wife. So I left that there. So I had 10 of those books that filled up, I think like 390 something CDs each.
Ooh.
So, I just basically took everything and threw it out.
I was like, you know what? Oh my gosh.
It hurt, but I was like, you know what? I have Spotify. I have all this stuff. I never go in these envelopes. Like I never go in these binders ever, you know? And everything that's in there, I can get aside from one binder that had like all live CDs, like bootlegs and stuff like that, that you can't get anywhere else, all the rest of them I just dumped out. I had everything. I have everything like loaded up digitally, you know, so.
I'm telling you what, we'll get to my part later, but me getting rid of 99.9% of my belongings, my CD collection is still something that I held on to, like weirdly. Yeah. I don't know why. Like I just couldn't, like, you know, it doesn't make a lot of sense because like you said, like I have Apple Music. I can get all of that and more on there, but I just, I could not part.
Yeah, I was like, you know what? I have no space for these. I never open them anymore, except for the one that had the live stuff. And I just basically, I just took it. There's a dumpster outside my apartment, and I just took it and dumped it out. Oh. And that's what I did. Yeah.
You know, I do still occasionally listen to them. I'll pull one out and put it in the car.
I saved like 50 to 60 of them.
Okay.
That were, that they had like autographs in them or something like that. Or it's like a CD that's hard to find. Like I listen to a lot of like German industrial music where you can't get the music, you can't get the CDs here. So I saved stuff like that, you know, things that I couldn't get here. So that kind of stuff. So I went from like, let's see, how many CDs is that? That's 395 CDs times, well, it's there you go. It's 4,000 CDs. I went from 4,000 CDs to maybe 100.
Wow.
It's crazy, right?
That is. What size is your apartment?
It's probably about 900 square feet, maybe. Okay. It's not tiny. It's between 800 and 900 square feet.
Okay.
It's not tiny, but, you know, it's not exactly – like, I have the whole – like, where I am right now, I have, like, a whole kind of studio set up with a green screen and everything like that, you know, because of all the other shows I do. So,
right.
So that was important to get that in a little nook of itself because I didn't want to not do that stuff, you know? So I set that up first and then I based the rest of the apartment around that, you know, which is out of the way. It's not like it's in the middle. Like if you came to my apartment, you'd be like, oh, okay, there it is. It's nothing. It's just like a lot of, you know, equipment like cameras and ring lights and stuff, you know?
I can tell you going from 4,000 to 800 square feet, which is what we did initially, to an apartment, it was so easy to clean. I was like, this is life changing. Like, we couldn't make it work. I couldn't do the noise of other people. I couldn't handle that part. But the actual just little unit itself, like if it was just its own entity, like a tiny house, we would have made it work because it's just such a perfect amount of space, even for two people, like perfect.
And that's unfortunate. Fortunately, my apartment basically just sits on one other apartment. It's like garden apartments. It's not like an apartment building. So I only have one neighbor who's underneath me and he's really quiet. And, you know, I always tell him like, if I'm too loud, if I'm doing like playing like a music Periscope or I'm doing the McNasty cast or something like that, and I'm laughing and yelling and it's the middle of the night, I was like, please just tell me. But, he's like, I don't hear you at all. So, and I don't get a lot of noise from other neighbors. So an occasional door slam or something like that, but nothing crazy, you know?
Right. Good.
Yeah, that's good. So I got rid of my CDs. I pretty much kept everything else. I had like my video games and stuff, you know, typical 45-year-old toys, you know. I got my golf clubs. And I just basically had to go out and get new furniture, which I did. Me and my mom went out and I picked a bunch of stuff and that's how I got set up. But I purged a lot of clothes is what I did. I had so many shirts and t-shirts and stuff that I never wear anymore. So it hurt to get rid of some of them because I was like, it was like a concert I went to that I remember and stuff like that, but I just don't wear it anymore. And I had about six or seven of those big like contractor bags that you get from Costco filled with clothes and dumped them in like the Goodwill bins.
Wow.
Yeah. And I still need to do it again. Like there's still stuff I want to get rid of, but I didn't have the heart to get rid of them. I have to do phase two, you know?
You should put them in boxes and get a donation slip and drop them off in person because you can do a tax write-off.
oh yeah, I probably should have done that, but I already probably did 90% of it, and I just put it in, like, you know, those bins that they have at like churches. I just dumped them in there. So
right, I feel majority of people do that, but I'm telling you, like, even if it's just $50, you know, like, it's a
nice. Of course, it's a little bit of a savings. Yeah, of course, I didn't even think about that. So maybe I'll do that the next time I start purging again.
It's super easy, and they never write the amount on there either. They have you write it in.
Well, this was $8 million worth of free clothes, right?
Well, I think it's like, I forget the exact amount, like $3,000 a year or something. Right. But it's like, you know, I try to bid under what I think the box is. Yeah, so if it was a box of clothes, I'd put like $5 for an entire box of clothes.
Do you know how much this Marilyn Manson shirt is worth? Oh my God. Yeah. So I got rid of a ton of clothes. And those are the big things that I got rid of were clothes and CDs. I have a bunch of and I'm going to call them toys because they are toys, like Hellraiser dolls and stuff like that I just put in a big box that's sitting in my little storage unit here. So that I didn't have the heart to get rid of because it's all stuff that I collected because I'm a horror movie fan, you know?
Yeah, I mean, there's things that, you know, just don't part with. Like, just get a storage unit. It's not worth, like, losing your sanity over to get rid of some things.
Right. Exactly. So I just, you know, that's like hobby stuff. That's like somebody who collects comics and stuff like that. They're not going to have the heart to get. You ever see somebody trying to sell their comic book collection to, like, a comic store? And you could just tell it's, like, ripping their heart out, you know?
Yeah.
Something that they've done, that's something that they cherish, and it's like, I've grown out of this now, but I don't want to grow out of it, you know, those kind of things.
My dad has a pretty worthless comic book collection in his words. And, he, you know, cause he's like, they're from his childhood, but what he would do is he would take apart the comics and put them back together of just the most interesting pages for himself and do things like that. Yeah. So
I've never heard of that before. Wow. This page sucks. Let me get rid of this.
Yes. He would. It was like, he almost like created his own stories with them.
And like, who is this guy's a serial killer. He's like-
and then also just, he would just use them so much. And I remember growing up, I'd go to the comic book shop with him and it was like, oh God, I hated it. You know, I was like such a girly girl and being stuck at the comic book shop every week with my dad on, and he's in there for hours and I'm just sitting on the steps, you know, there's no phones yet or tablets. I just, the entertainment was staring at the wall while my dad's comic book shopping. But it ended up paying off a little bit recently. He texted me and said that he sold a comic book for $2,000. So, So I guess he does have, and he didn't realize that it was worth anything. And I don't know if he was just, if he's on some kind of chat website with people and it came
up. There's millions of them. There's millions of stuff like that, that you can jump on. And there's, you know, I did a similar thing with vinyl. I had like some vinyl, like, you know, the band Tool and stuff like that they released, like, picture discs of singles and stuff that I sold on eBay.
Okay.
I sold one Tool vinyl that was a single that had a picture disc. I sold it for $450 and I couldn't believe it. Like, I looked up like the value of it on eBay and people were selling it for like $600 and $500. I was like, you know, I'm just going to put it for $450. It sold within like an hour. I was like, shit, I should have put it at $600.
Yeah. Wow. That's awesome.
Like, you know what? I got it for free. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's like, I'm gouging somebody already at $450, but I was like, you know what? I'm just going to, if everybody else is selling it for $650, $700, $500, I'm just going to give it to somebody. It literally lasted like an hour and I sold probably about 20 to 30 pieces of vinyl that I would never listen to, you know, and it's nice to have and everything like that. But I was like, you know, somebody out there is going to want this more than I do. And I sold them all. Like, I was really surprised, but, sold them all and made a pretty good profit on it. You know, made almost like $1,000.
They wanted them bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but I regret getting rid of some of those. You know, there's certain ones. I'm a big Marilyn Manson fan and stuff. I got rid of like some picture discs that I would have hung on my walls in my apartment, but really trying not to make my apartment look like a bachelor pad kind of thing. You know, I wanted it to look like like a home. So I wouldn't be doing stuff like that. I have like all, I have some pictures of me, like some of the bands that I like, you know, that I took, I made them into like canvases and stuff like that. I put that on the wall, and I put a lot of pictures of me with the kids in like a canvas print on the wall. Like the picture I sent you, like that kind of canvas thing.
Right.
So, you know, that's how I decorated. And, you know, I have so many music things that I'm like, I want to put them up, but then I'm like, it's going to look like a bachelor pad. And it's a shame because I can't get rid of them. Like, you know, like posters that are signed by the band and they're personalized and stuff like that, that I don't want to get rid of, you know?
When we were in that tiny apartment, I had come across my grandmother's old Ukrainian polka records. And so right. They had the coolest covers.
Oh,
and
my God.
So we put that up. I don't know if you ever saw that photo. I'll have to send it to you.
Yeah, send it to me.
But it looked really good. It looked definitely like Pinteresty or like it's something you'd see on Instagram. It was a very cool photo. And then, you know, we came to the rental house and it's just too much to decorate because then, you know, we're building the house right now and would have to redo and fix it, put everything back to white. But yeah, it looked really cool. I'll send you a photo. So
that's one thing I wanted to bring up to you because I made a note of it is your impression of your grandmother is fantastic.
Oh,
I don't even know your grandmother, but what does she call you? What does she call you?
Well, she called me, the babushka, but she,
is that what she
which means old lady. I found out.
Yeah.
So I don't know why she called me babushka. Like maybe because I don't know. I just had a really fat old lady face as a baby. Like she would grab my face and smush it with both of her hands and call me her little babushka. So
it's because you have like some cheeks doesn't mean you have a fat old lady face, all right?
I don't know. Like I was seven. Who knows?
That's pretty funny. I was laughing at your Russian accent. I was cracking up. I was like, that's pretty good.
I mean, yeah. Oh, it used to be spot, you know, because I talk to her every day. But now as time goes on, I lose it a little bit. But I try to, you know, brush up every once in a while.
Have you ever gotten rid of something that you like after you got rid of it, like, shit, I shouldn't have got rid of that?
You know, okay, so in that 4,000 square foot house, I built that house when I was 21. And I moved in with very little. I only had a few tubs of extremely personal items, like from childhood or this or that. And those just went up to the attic. But the actual house itself, I just went to Ethan Allen, hired a designer, and her and I worked together.
Okay.
And we designed the whole house and just put furniture in, lamps. I had no emotional attachment to any of these things. They were all extremely expensive. But as far as any like, oh, this means something to me, it didn't. I don't get attached to physical items, thank goodness.
Your house was beautifully decorated.
Thank you.
Really.
It was like
I love your Christmas tree. Your Christmas tree was awesome.
Thank you.
It was an amazing Christmas tree.
Thank you very much. I hired a company for that too to come out and I went in. It was a really cool system actually. You went to the place and they had all the different bulbs and just like ribbons and all of this. And you would just pick up one of each thing and put it in the basket and say, here you go. Here's the basket. Make my tree out of these. And then, and then they came to the house with the tree that you had, you know, just pointed and picked out like a week later. Yeah. And then they would decorate it with all of the things that you had picked, which was really cool.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. It was a cool system. You would definitely think that I was like some Persian prince with the way my house was decorated.
It was very nice. It was very, very clean. It was a beautifully decorated. Yeah.
I just loved, you know, I grew up so freaking poor. So to me, wealth meant like very ornate, like a lot of gold, burgundy, you know, like just.
Yeah, no, I understand what you're saying.
Yeah. Just like very like royal looking.
Yeah.
So it definitely didn't match a 21-year-old girl, but I was just going for like, make me look as rich as possible, please.
Right.
from.
Well, that's understandable, though. That's, you know what I mean? When you're that age, you want to be you're proud of what you're, you know, your wealth and stuff like that. So that's not nothing wrong with that.
And I loved it too. I just, yeah. I thought it was beautiful. And I, you know, and I look back at pictures and I'm like, it did, it looked impressive. So, but also things I accumulated over the years. Yeah. And then back to Periscope, I mean, ladies would beg to send me things on my wish list. Right. Like, your wish list is getting empty. I want to send you something. Da da da. You know.
That problem.
And yeah, it was wild. And so I'm a very practical type of person. It's like, okay, I don't want like a vase, you know, I want like a crock pot. And then I would forget that I got a crock pot and put another one on there. Before you knew it, I had four crock pots. And it was out of control. Like, I was like, okay, well, I want pasta stuff. So I'm going to start making my own pasta. And, oh, I want to start baking cakes. So I'll put a bunch of cake stuff up. And before you knew it, my kitchen, I had so much storage. I was probably before Periscope only utilizing 20% of the storage in my kitchen.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, it was 4,000 square foot house, so it was a very large kitchen.
So
you know, I just had the basics, like what you actually need and use on a daily basis.
I'm laughing because you said baking cakes, and it just brings me back to when you were making cakes on Periscope, and you smashed that one cake. I have a picture of it somewhere of you smashing that cake.
I put my face right into it, everyone's just casually watching me, and then all of it, and like I wasn't talking to the camera or anything, and all of a sudden I just went whoosh and put my face right into the cake. And I went back.
You get all frustrated and you're like, fuck this. And you,
oh, that one was bad. I've made some really good cakes since that turned out really well. Yes.
Oh, okay. It was the decorating part that was driving you nuts. It wasn't baking the cake per se. It was doing the fondant and stuff like that was getting you crazy. I remember that.
We got the fondant down now. We got
you
it.
Do? Okay,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. I'll have to show you some photos of those as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So when I went to sell the house, I decided I wanted to do a tag sale. Well, I contacted a tag sale lady and she's like, what we'll do is we'll just put all your stuff in piles. You can't be at the house. Everything that you want to keep has to be out of the house. And we're just going to put it in piles and label it $1, $3, this and that. And I'm like, oh my God, like, no way. Like, I'm like, you know, I got one tassel on a curtain alone had cost like $5,000, which was very stupid.
That's what
I know.
Saying. You know, she's like $1, $2. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, it was. I'm like, no way. So it took so much time, and you know, I'm so OCD. So I set up my own, and I don't say OCD lightly. Like, I really have a case. I've caught a serious case. Clinically diagnosed. So people would come over and they're like, oh my gosh, you should do this for a living, because people that come for tag sales, it's like their hobby. It's like, that's what they do. And I had it set up like a store. Like, you would walk in, like you would walk into Pier One, and it was like, you know, that's what it looked like. Like, everything was lit beautifully. I had music playing, like, you know, it was kind of fun, really. It was tedious, but I made a lot more money than I would have if I would have just let that lady come. And I ended up going to one of her sales. And what she mostly deals with is people that have passed away. They lived in the house for 60 years. Yeah. The family doesn't know what to do. They don't want to go through the crap. So, and it's mostly just a bunch of stuff that people wouldn't want anyway, but like, these people are obsessed with these.
And they find like little, it's like they're on like a treasure hunt. They're like finding that, they're looking for that one thing that they're buying for $10 that costs like $500 or something like that. You know, that's what they're there for. So,
I mean, and it's weird. Like, and they say in tag sales, they're like, don't underestimate what anyone will buy. And it's like,
absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
People buy toilet seats.
Yeah. It's, I mean, I put out cleaners. My cleaners, I never thought they would sell. And they sold like crazy, because it's like, we were moving to such a small space. So it's like, I couldn't keep 40 Windexes anymore. I had to get rid of some. I'm a stalker. Like, I stock up on items.
Not a stalker.
So, you know, I'd stock up on all of these. No. You saw my house. It was all in lines.
You're hoarding, hoarding cleaning supplies is basically what you're doing.
And to be clear, this was like, you know, 2 years ago before COVID, okay? Like, I already was prepared, okay? Like,
and I can vouch for that.
And it wasn't for like, oh, I thought the apocalypse was coming. It was just like, it didn't make sense for me to have to go to the store once a month for this or that when I could, if you have the storage, why not store a year's worth of toilet paper? Like, why not? You know, so.
Yeah. And your house was immaculate. Like, you know, I'm not a hoarder. You definitely weren't like that. I was just making a joke about cleaning supplies, but your house, like, and this is just strictly from me seeing you on Periscope, was beautiful. Like, and it was immaculate. Like, it looked like you had somebody in there cleaning every day, you know?
Me.
Yeah, you. Me. Exactly.
I also had a cleaning lady that ended up coming later on, and she would have a whole crew of her and Amish come once a week.
Yeah, the Amish.
And then she would come 1 hour every evening. And then that really helped free up my time so I didn't have to stay up till 3 a.m. But even in the closets, like, it looked like a store. Like, everything was stacked perfectly, all the labels facing forward and all of that. Like, I've already made an inventory list for our new house of where every item is going. So when we move in, I know exactly where the toilet papers are going, how many will be in each bathroom, how the extras will be in each closet. I'm prepared.
That's awesome, though. That's really good, you know. And we actually did something similar when we built our house in 2010. You know, we did something similar where we knew we were going to keep everything, and it was at the end of the day, when you move in, it's very, very good to be that way, because it's like, you know, you're not sitting there staring like, where do we put this? Where do we put this? I mean, you do that for a couple of things because you didn't think of it, but for the most part, if you have an idea of where everything's going, you move in so much quicker, you know?
100%. And I had a few friends help me with that first house that we were just talking about, that at the big house. And we were moved in, unpacked by the end of the night. Everything was put away. It was amazing. Yeah, it was really cool. So with the remaining of the stuff, I had two tag sales. The remaining stuff, we were able to fill up two large U-Haul trucks front to back, floor to ceiling, and take them to donation. And the donation people said they'd never seen even close to donations of the levels that we had. And we still have stuff in our garage for donation. Well,
I was going to ask you. So you're building a new house. Yeah. You got rid of everything? 99% of everything?
99.9%.
So you're just going all new furniture and everything for the new house?
Well, we bought temporary furniture. We just got stuff on Wayfair, like just cheapy stuff. No offense to anyone that loves Wayfair.
No, who doesn't love Wayfair? For that reason.
The stuff is really cute, but it just doesn't, especially after having Ethan Allen furniture, it just doesn't have the high quality. Like, things are already – I mean, there's a reason it has that price.
Yeah, of course.
It's chipping. It's this. It's fading.
It's great for people who want to change their furniture, you know, every few years, you know. It's actually really good for that kind of stuff.
Right. So, yeah. So we're planning new furniture for the next house for basically the longevity of the last house for a decade or more. Like, we're definitely investing in high quality furniture, especially since we went the cheap route here at the rental house. I definitely seen the value in getting nice furniture that's built to last a lifetime.
Yeah. And it really does last. You know, I got stuff at Raymore and Flanagan for my apartment, and, you know, and that's below Ethan Allen, obviously, but it's very good stuff. And I know it'll last me until I either want to move or I'm going to, you know, I want to change things around a little bit, which I think I might be moving in like 6 months or so. I live in my grandmother's old apartment.
Okay.
My dad's parents' old apartment right now. And we own it, but I still pay rent. But like, my dad and my uncle own it. So my mother's parents actually lived right across the courtyard here in a 2-bedroom that I'm going to move into once the people move out of there. We're going to clean it up and fix it up, and then I'm going to move into there.
I need to hear more about this. Hold on. Let's pause here and go for a new segment.
Sure.